Well, if you do have your Bible, please turn to this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me begin with this comment. Put up your hand if you've never had a problem. I don't really expect there to be many hands raised. But if I was to say, put up your hand if you have struggled with the problems of life, I wonder how many hands would be up. Hopefully, well, in some ways, not hopefully, it would be lovely that no hands were up. But the truth of the matter is that many hands would be raised. The Christian worldview has so much to commend itself to those who would listen to it. The Christian life is, we believe, the best life, and yet it is not the easiest life. It is certainly not a problem-free life. Like, think in your own life, think of the past week. Again, if I was to say to you, I wonder, could you honestly say, I haven't had a problem this past week. Everything has been fine. Everything has been rosy. Everything has been very straightforward. There's been nothing at all this past week that has crossed my mind and caused me to be a little bit worried. I suspect there's not one person here who could honestly stand up and say that. Apart from the little baby, of course. When you're that age, life is problem-free. But of course, we all have to grow up. And life isn't always straightforward. So this morning, the reason I just say that is that this morning, the theme, I sometimes say, girls, I put up a picture and say, that's the sermon. But then, like a typical preacher, without... I'm not able to be content in showing the picture. I have to then go and speak a whole lot as well. But hopefully not too much. But that's the sermon this morning. Tough times ahead. I'm sure it's not a word of prophecy either. Tough times ahead. We all experience tough times. I would love as a pastor to be able to stand in front of a group of people and say, look, you'll never have tough times. You'll never have a problem. You'll never have a trial or a tribulation. But look, that's just not the way it is. So here's the first thing. The reality of tough times. We live in a world, don't we, where there are problems. And girls, older people, you even pull down the glossy magazines from the rack, and probably in all of them, although I have to confess I haven't read all of them, but I suspect in most of them you will even find the problem page. Even in the midst of the glossy magazines, you will find the problem page. So how do Christians explain the perspective that there are problems and struggles? Why do we have problems? Why do we have suffering? Well, the bottom line is this, and sometimes, and girls, I'm not picking on you, by the way, not at all, but young folk and older folk as well, sometimes people might say, well, why is life hard? Why can life not be easy? Why can God not make things straightforward and that we don't have any problems? And that's a question that you'll hear growing up in life, people sometimes saying. And the bottom line as an answer to all of that is this, that God did originally make a world where there were no problems. So don't be blaming God. God did make a world where there weren't going to be any tough times ahead, but men went their own way and bungled the whole thing up and made a mess of it. There was a famous person once wrote a very famous piece of literature called Paradise Lost. And that in some ways summarizes so much. There was a paradise, but we blew it. We thought we were better than God. We thought we knew better than God, but we messed up big time. And so into the world came problems. Into the world came earthquakes and floods and little insects that bite you and sting you and sickness and disease and people who are greedy and people who are selfish and people who go out of their way to hurt their neighbor. All of that happened as a result of the fall. Paradise lost. So we can suffer for all sorts of reasons. That's the bottom line as to why we suffer. But in this passage, and this is what I just need to get to, in this passage in 1 Peter, one of the things that Peter is teaching is that one of the reasons that we suffer is because we follow Jesus. And to put it almost in a very simplistic way, Peter is saying, Jesus suffered, so you're going to suffer. Don't be thinking you're going to get off. If you follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. And that's one of the things that Peter is teaching here. So we have to be realistic. Sometimes in life, some people are very optimistic and the glass is always half full. Some people are very pessimistic. The glass is half empty. But Christians need to be realistic. There's going to be tough times ahead. We wish it wasn't the case, but it is the case. And for some Christians, it's a very, very tough indeed. This is just one example. As some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a very nice week. I'm not going to go on about it too much. We had a very nice week in northern Italy. It was kind of northeast Italy. But I was thinking about this, that just west of the area that we were, I'm sure I'll not pronounce this right, in an area called Piedmont, P-I-E-D-M-O-N-D, some years ago in that area, and there's still some of these people living there, there's a group of people who lived in that area called, I should have this up on the screen, Waldensians. It begins with a W, W-A-L, and they were genuine Christian people who lived in that part of northern Italy. But without going into all the details, they suffered really, really badly. If I was to say to you that some people were very nasty to them, it would be an understatement. And why did they suffer? You can go and read about it if you're interested in that kind of thing. Why did they suffer? What terrible thing did they do? Well, the only terrible thing that they did was that they followed the Lord Jesus. And today we support the work of Open Doors. And there are people throughout our world today who are suffering. You heard me praying for them. There are people this morning sitting in prisons. There are people this morning who have been really badly treated. There are people this morning who have been persecuted and are suffering. Why? Why is that? What terrible thing did they do? They did nothing more, nothing less than to take on the name of Jesus. So tough times do exist. But let me press on and say something else here. The reason for tough times and tough times existing. Look at what the text says here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Look what it says. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice." Now, notice this. "Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Why is it that Christians sometimes suffer? Now, sometimes a Christian could suffer because they have been downright silly or unwise or foolish in something that they've done. But in many, many cases, the reason that Christians suffer is not because of that reason, but simply because of something else that's going on. Put very simply, the reason for tough times certainly part of the reason for some of the tough times of life is because we follow Jesus. And it was the way of Christ to suffer. And sadly, it's also the way of Christians to suffer. Let me remind you of a couple of verses from another part of the Bible. I don't have them on the screen, so just listen to these. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Jesus says there's a day coming when people will not be very nice to you, not because of something you've done, but because they actually hate you because they hate me. Or listen to these words, John chapter 15, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." What does that teach us, young folk, and all of us this morning? It teaches us a fairly sobering truth that if we are Christian people, we follow Christ. And the way of Christ is one that will bring suffering and insult and trial and difficulty. Why? Because it's the way of the cross. And as the old hymn says, it's the way of the cross that eventually leads home. But to carry your cross actually means times of suffering. Now, none of us can suffer, obviously, in the way that Christ suffered. To suggest such a thing would, I think, be verging on blasphemy, and we're not suggesting that at all. But we still will suffer. We still will suffer. It's a really interesting, if you've got your Bible, look what it says in verse 14. It says, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." And look at verse 16. "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name." There's a couple of really significant things there, folks. Did you know that in verse 16 there, where it uses the word Christian, there are only three places in the Bible, three places in the New Testament that it uses the word Christian. Only three. One of them is in Acts 11, where it says that the believers were first called Christians in a place called Antioch. The other one is a reference to a king, King Agrippa, in Acts 26, where he says to Paul, "Paul, do you think that you could persuade me to be a Christian in such a short time?" And the other one is here, where it says, "If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name." Can I suggest to you this morning, folks, that the name Christian, and many of us here this morning, praise God, are very happy to say, "Look, I am a Christian." But in many ways, the name, that word Christian, has been devalued. In Peter's day, it was used as an insult. "Oh, that's one of those Christians." And it wasn't a positive thing that people were meaning. "Oh, that's one of those Christians." And when you think of the word Christian, well, what was it basically made up of? It's made up of the name Christ, and then I-A-N at the end of it. And that's what it means to bear the name. In Peter's day, it was an insult to be called a Christian. But here's the point. The followers of Christ took it as a privilege and almost as a blessing to bear the name and to be insulted. That's the way they looked at it. Folks, can I suggest that we are different? And there's something that we need to just bring to God and change. Because can I suggest, and I know that we're not masochists, we don't go around looking for suffering or anything like that, but we sometimes run away from being insulted or being ridiculed or somebody saying something not very nice about us. There's something within us that we want to kind of keep on the right side of everybody. But actually, can I say to you this morning, that's not possible. If you are a Christian, there will come a point in your life where something's being said and you will or you ought to say, well, look, actually, I don't want anything to do with that because I'm a Christian. And you'll be insulted and people will talk about you and ridicule you behind your back. And it's not very nice when that happens. But think about it this way. What a privilege to bear the name. What a privilege to walk the way of Jesus. People, remember this. And I sometimes think about it this way. If Jesus was in the kingdom of Mourn, do you think everybody would talk highly about him? Well, they might for a day or two. But then he would go and do something that people didn't want him to do. Or he would speak and say something that people said, oh, I don't know why he said that. And they would speak badly about him. So folks, don't be afraid to bear the name. Don't be overly worried if somebody doesn't agree with everything that you stand for as a Christian. Bear the name. But here's the last thing I want to say this morning. The reason for tough times and how to cope with it. Peter says a few wee things here, a few wee practical things. The reaction to tough times. Now that might surprise you that that's the first one. He says, "Be encouraged." Look what it says in verse 13. He says, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings, so that you may be overjoyed when the glory is revealed." It's the same thing in verse 16. Don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. And one of the reasons that Peter gives here, and I want you to, if you've got your Bible, look carefully at what he says. Verse 14, if you're insulted because of the name of Jesus or in the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Let me try and encourage you here. If you're ever suffering for being a Christian, if somebody's giving you a hard time for being a follower of Jesus and saying, I don't know what you're bothering with all that for, think about this. Peter says, yeah, you're suffering at the moment, but there's glory times ahead. You're going through the mill at the moment because somebody's giving you a hard time because you're a Christian. But remember, there's glory days ahead. And remember that this is the way that Jesus went. He bore his cross and he went to glory. You bear your cross and one day you'll be in glory as well. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. I sometimes would have reason to go out to, I don't know if you've been at Mourne Grange. In some ways it's an amazing place. There's so much going on there. And sometimes I would have reason maybe just to go out there and call with somebody. And just recently I was out and I was in what they call the weavery, which obviously is a place where they do a whole lot of weaving. And I don't know if you've ever been there or seen maybe somewhere else people using some of these older machines to weave. It's an amazing thing, actually. And how sometimes when you might look at what's happening, and if you look at it sort of from one angle, you couldn't make head nor tail of it, but when you turn it round, it all becomes very apparent what's happening. Sometimes life's like that. We go through tough times and we kind of say, Lord, I don't really understand what's going on here. But actually, from the perspective of glory, it all becomes much more clear. That doesn't make it any easier, but it helps us through. I don't know if any of you know this little verse, a little poem. Now, the language is slightly old-fashioned, but it's a little verse called The Weaver. It says this. I should have put it up on the screen, but excuse me for not. Just listen. It says this. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. The dark threads are as needful as the in the weaver's skillful hand, as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. Folks, tough times are tough times. And Peter says here, look, don't allow the tough times of life to grind you down into the dust as they can. Don't allow the tough times to turn you against the Lord as they can. But see that God, like a weaver, skillfully working out his purposes in ways that are unknown and unseen to us, is working out his purposes. And one day in the glory, we will understand. Be encouraged by that. But Peter says just a couple of other little things before I finish. He says, I want you also to be concerned. Sometimes in tough times, it can be easy for us to, and I don't say this lightly or easily, of course we're taken up with ourselves. Tough times are very, very hard. But Peter says, I want you to think about some other people here for a moment. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And here's the part. If it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel? And what Peter seems to be saying here is this, that suffering comes, and Christians are not immune to suffering. And difficult though it is, be encouraged. Glory awaits you. But remember, says Peter, what about the people for whom glory doesn't await them? Because they're going to face terrible suffering. And they're not ready to face it. They're not right with God. They've never committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be concerned about them. So this morning, folks, as we go through tough times, I suppose this is almost another version. It's a biblical version of the dictum that says to us, you know, in life when things are tough, and I know it can be easier said than done, try not just to be taken up with yourself. Think about some other people. And Peter says here, think about those who have rejected the gospel because suffering is coming their way and they're not yet ready. Are you concerned this morning for those in your family? For those who are your neighbors who have not yet surrendered their life to Jesus? Have you a concern for them? Or I think sometimes in life has a way of kind of immunizing us against these realities, and we stop being really concerned for them. We stop praying for them. We stop seeking to point them to Jesus. We stop maybe even inviting them to come to church because we kind of lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Be concerned. And allow this little word here in 1 Peter to prick your conscience again, that you will be concerned. As Peter says here, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And you think of that dear loved one at home or somebody in your circle of friends. What will become of them if they leave this world without the Lord Jesus? It doesn't bear thinking about. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? If the Lord would call, are you ready? And the last thing is, be committed. Verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Tough times are real. How do we react? Well, let's be encouraged. The glory is ahead of us. But let's also be concerned for those who as yet have not come to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not repented and believed the gospel. And let's also be committed. Let's keep pressing on. Let's keep pressing on. And I finish with this. As I said to the boys and girls, as I held the little mirror up in front of them, as people see you and you and you and you, as people see you this week, as people look at you, what do they see? Be honest. When people look at you tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon or on Wednesday evening or on Friday evening, what will they see? I can see you now. We can all see each other now. But what will they see? Will they see someone who's genuinely seeking to press on as a Christian? Will they hear words that are befitting of a Christian? Will they see behavior that is befitting a Christian? Or will they see and hear something else? Peter says, no, don't let it be like that. That's just a farce. That brings the whole thing into disrepute. Bear the name, even when it's tough, and the Lord will bless you. A short prayer before we conclude. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of being able to bear the name of Christ. And Lord, maybe some of us here this morning haven't taken that name on as yet. We haven't yet believed. We haven't repented and believed the gospel. Lord, may it be even today that we would take that step and bear the name. And even though others will laugh or mock, help us to bear that name and bring glory to you. And we ask our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.